When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Let's go to our Washington correspondent, LBC's Simon Marks. Good evening to you, Simon. What do you make of Sir Ed Davies' point that essentially, because we here in Britain have not, in his view, managed to find a future, an economic future, parallel to and independent to our constant reliance on a trade deal with America, it actually renders us totally impotent when it comes to talking about Ukraine, when it comes to talking about Gaza?
Well, it's good to be with you, Ranveer. The government, of course, the UK government, would argue that it finds itself, among other European leaders, in a coveted and unique position here in Washington, that Sir Keir Starmer is the European leader that Donald Trump actually likes doing business with. And if you go back just a few days ago to when the Prime Minister and the Europeans and Volodymyr Zelensky all raced here to Washington, D.C. off the back of that Alaska summit meeting between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. I mean, it was notable that Keir Starmer, when he had his opportunity to speak, did not confront Donald Trump in the way that Friedrich Merz of Germany or Emmanuel Macron did. The French president today, after meeting with Chancellor Merz in France, said outright that he believes now that Donald Trump is being played by Vladimir Putin. We've never heard that kind of language from the Prime Minister. And we haven't heard it by design. I mean, the Prime Minister, Lord Mandelson, his ambassador here, they argue that one of the reasons why Britain got improved status in the president's tariff negotiations versus the tariffs that were imposed on the European Union is because he has purchase at the White House. For whatever reason, he's the guy that Donald Trump currently respects and likes to work with. The difficulty with that is that it's a massive hostage to fortune. You know, when Keir Starmer was here in February and famously reached into his jacket and pulled out the letter from the king and tantalized Trump with it on camera, the Trump administration, the second term, was in its nascent stages. It's now August. Democrats, Governor Gavin Newsom of California, definitely a runner and rider to be that party's presidential candidate in 2028, warned this week that Donald Trump is not going to hold more elections in the United States. He's against the whole idea. He wants to carry on serving in power. He's serious about Trump 2028. And so there's a real danger in being the man that Trump wants to get along with and taking advantage of that if everything here truly heads down the very dark road that one party fears that it might be going in.
And just to be clear for those listening, that there is a two-term limit on all presidents in America, and that's why the idea of him running again or simply just wanting to stage a sit-in. I mean, it's almost like as though that's what Governor Newsom is suggesting. But it's interesting you mentioned there that it feels as though we have had some sort of preferential treatment on tariffs. But the latest sort of reports on it is that British manufacturers are still actually reeling from this introduction of 25% on 400 new categories. It's very complex, something that involves steel or aluminium. So it could include washing machines, garden furniture, all sorts of things. So it's interesting that the overall broad feeling is that Sir Keir Starmer has perhaps played his hand well. But actually for manufacturers here, they're thinking, hang on, well, if we're meant to be special friends, where's our special treatment?
Oh, absolutely, Ranveer. But I think all of this talk about the special relationship can absolutely be consigned to the ash heap of transatlantic history at this point. I mean, everyone is having to confront the fact that Donald Trump is exercising his power in many parts of the world literally to destroy other countries' economies based on an absolute insistence that all trade deficits need to be simply erased. And the UK is in a special position in the sense that the Trump administration appeared earlier in the year to have accepted the government's argument that trade between the United States and the United Kingdom was pretty much in balance. There are various ways in which you can do the numbers, but the way the UK government does the numbers, the trade is in balance, and that appeared to be finding purchase at the White House. Now, of course, with some of those additional duties coming into force, with Donald Trump always pushing for more and more tariff revenues. Because remember, this isn't just about trade. He ultimately wants to scrap federal income tax in this country and fund the entire government out of tariff revenues, an idea that most economists here argue is completely unattainable in the modern era. He's going to constantly push and push and push. And he is entirely transactional. He's unconcerned with the state of the British economy. He is only concerned with the state of the American economy. And another thing that just took place this week, I mean, he's basically just forced the California chip manufacturer Intel to rather gift the US government a 10% stake in its entire business after he embraced allegations that the CEO of Intel had connections, whatever that means, to China, embraced and amplified them, and then basically forced the CEO of Intel to come to Washington on his knees and agree to hand over 10% of the company to the American government in exchange, presumably, for Donald Trump no longer to amplify those allegations. I mean,
it's
we are in an era
of crony capitalism. That
here.
Is absolutely extraordinary. I mean, it feels sort of mob-like, you know, it's what the mafia do.
Yes.
It's just such a bizarre... Even for you, even it must seem extraordinary. I mean, you know, the language has not been there for these kind of situations before Trump. So I just want the question I'm asking this hour to those listening here on LBC tonight is, do they agree with Sir Ed Davey, who says that Sir Keir Starmer is just simply too soft on everything? He says on everything from tariffs to Putin and everything in between. But what's the point of being soft with somebody who doesn't necessarily recognise our needs? And some might say, why should he? And perhaps we should be taking a leaf out of Trump's book. I think lots of people here think, well, yeah, why not? Put yourselves first. But what is the benefit to us here? I mean, we're going to roll out the red carpet. He's coming to see, I think it's the 17th of September for 2 days. We don't normally offer a state visit to the second term of the same president. Does that hold any water, or are we simply playing his game?
I think it's a real hostage to fortune, and I think it's a roll of the dice. There is nothing that Donald Trump covets, apart from the Nobel Peace Prize, more than the opportunity to get his picture taken with King Charles and other members of the royal family. He has a personal connection, particularly to Scotland. Remember that his mother was born in Scotland, and he has, of course, Turnberry up in Ayrshire, which he views as one of the jewels in his corporate crown. Everything is confirmed conflated now in this administration, the private wealth of the Trump Organization and the public interest of the US government. So he really wants the pomp and ceremony, and he wants to walk out of here, out of the UK rather, and come back here with pictures of him and members of the royal family. The question is, how's he going to feel about the UK after this state visit is over, at a time when the president and other senior figures within his government, particularly J.D. Vance, the vice president, and Marco Rubio, the secretary of state, keep hammering away at their claims that free speech is under attack in the UK, in stark contrast, of course, to what is actually taking place here in the United States in terms of tolerance for free speech. How far are they going to advance those attacks? We've seen Elon Musk again using his social media platform just in the last two or three days to launch a whole slew of fresh assaults on the government. The difficulty is that what might have seemed like a great idea back in February, you know, let's win him over by giving him that letter from the king.
And to be fair, it did make Sir Keir Starmer look like he'd got the upper hand. You think, oh, good on you. I think he really did win the British public over for a period of time.
A masterstroke that really set the standard in terms of trying to flatter Trump, that every other leader that wants to have an easy time at the White House has sort of emulated in the months since then. But, you know, now we're in August, the country is in a much darker position than it was in February, and no one can tell you exactly where we're going to be by the time next September rolls around. So what this state visit looks like in September of 2026 is really going to determine whether it was a great idea to go ahead with it and not stand up to him in September of 2025.
And that feeling that he pulled the lever too quickly. We had one card to play and we played it super early, because of course you know, the real issue, of course there is trade at stake here, but I think the real issue morally is, it's particularly for Sir Ed Davey. That's why we're asking the question this hour, is because Sir Ed Davey's been on LBC today, and of course we know that he has decided to boycott the banquet on moral grounds, really, over what's happening in the Middle East. But the real moral issue is that when we see Trump speaking about Putin in such elevated terms, and you know, this suggestion, I think you were making it on LBC not so long ago, that that he might invite Putin over to Los Angeles for the World Cup. I mean, these remarkable suggestions, which seem completely, I mean, just the stuff of some sort of Spielberg film of the future, like it just couldn't happen. But now you're saying, actually, these things are real, they could happen. But at the same time, the idea of carving up Ukraine and giving bits of it away to Putin on European soil, I mean, Sir Keir Starmer could end up looking just weaker because of handing the king over on a plate to somebody who will, yeah, thanks very much, take it and run and do what he wants anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was Trump who postulated the idea of inviting Putin to attend the World Cup after Putin sent him a photograph of the two of them in Alaska that Trump seemed to love and said that he was going to sign and send back to Vladimir Putin. I mean, all of this sort of extraordinary leader-to-leader
behaviour.
It's like
leader on Cameo. I don't know if you heard this Cameo thing where you say, well, you do a 10-second video for me, aren't it? You know, it's like that,
absolutely.
Isn't it? It's absolutely bizarre.
Absolutely. But it's also worth making the point that there have been other developments today that the government in London ought not to welcome. The Secretary of State, the State Department, announced today that they will not be giving visas to some Palestinian officials, we don't precisely know who's going to be targeted by this, to attend the United Nations General Assembly in New York next month. And remember, it's at the United Nations General Assembly that the UK, France and other countries have said that they will recognise Palestinian statehood, moves that Donald Trump has absolutely dismissed as irrelevant. I mean, that move by the State Department today to say, well, we're not going to let the Palestinian officials come to New York to celebrate those actions that the UK government and others are about to take. That in and of itself is a slap in the face for David Lammy and Keir Starmer and the Foreign Office. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of representations, if any, the UK government makes to Washington or to President Trump when he's in London.
Simon, do you think that it does feel that President Trump does have Sir Keir Starmer over a barrel? Because as Sir Ed Davey has said, and we played a clip of it at the top of this hour, that what he would do, Sir Ed Davey, if he were Prime Minister, would have already been creating what he describes as a sort of economic coalition. This idea that, look, we would love to do as much trade as possible with America, we need it, but we won't be held to ransom because we have other options. The point he's making is that it is an abject failure of British government at such a divisive time in world politics where there is such suffering, actually, of ordinary people that he has us over a barrel because it's the economy, stupid. In the end, it comes down to they are an economic powerhouse, they are growing, and we are not.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of truth in that. This is clearly the number one market in the world. It is the place that everybody wants to do business with. The dollar is still the international currency, even though it's declined in value by 10% since the start of the year and may slide lower under President Trump's leadership. So to that degree, yes, the United States has got us and everybody else over a barrel. But there is truth in what Ed Davey is saying about the need to forge other coalitions. Why is Narendra Modi of India about to go and meet with President Xi Jinping of China? Because those two countries now want to do increasing amounts of business with one another, given that their exports to the United States are now tariffed to the hilt. So there are examples of that taking place in other parts of the world, and Europe has obviously had huge conversations underway about the rapidity with which it can expand its own defence infrastructure. That's another huge piece of this conversation. Can we rely on the Americans anymore to meet their Article 5 obligations under the NATO Charter? An attack on one is an attack on all. How quickly do they want to get out of Europe and focus their attention on Chinese expansionism? So the urgency for action, I think, has been apparent for a while. And there has been action, particularly on defence manufacturing capacity. But on trade, there's probably more that could be done. You're just never going to get past the fact that this is the biggest market in the world and everybody wants a piece of it.
Well, we shall see it in all its full glory, won't we, when the US President and First Lady Melania Trump will be here in the UK, hosted at Windsor Castle from the 17th to the 19th of September. Should we be rolling the red carpet out, or should we be being tougher with Trump? Thank you so much to Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.